There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Oh, Yeshua, it's your presence, Lord. And I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Oh, yes, God, yeah. In your presence, Lord. Oh, yeah. And Holy Spirit, you are welcome. And come from this place of fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God. Tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your glory, God, is what our heart.
So I want to thank the worship band and yes, yeah. So I brought Gaddison up here. Thank you so much. I love you so much. Did you know that that was the first song that was sung in this place when we opened and began the ministry of Harmony Toluca Lake? That was the first song. See, he didn't even know that. And that is actually, that I requested that song to open up Harmony. Wow. And so thank you so much, because that means so much to me. And, you know, and so does the band. Great job.
Thank you.
All right, amen. So this morning, Harmony, we continue our current sermon series titled Faith and Values, Living a Progressive Spiritual Life. During this fall season, we're looking at seven values that are important to us: grace, justice, gratitude, freedom, integrity, persistence, and stewardship. And this is, we're looking at how we're living out these particular values and the choices that we make and in our lives overall. So last week, we focused on the value of grace, and today we're going to focus on the value of justice. Earlier, we received the centering scripture passage that was read by Dr. Larry Hyde Jr., who read the parable about Lazarus and the rich man. And this is from the Gospel of Luke. It comes from chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. And there's nothing like hearing about the fiery pits of hell to put the icing on one's birthday cake, right? 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 I'm like, come on, really? But I'm going to tell you that the story here isn't really about hell as much as it is about hypocrisy and justice. And that is where the actual emphasis is being placed by Jesus. Now, it ties in well to something that Jesus said when he addressed the Pharisees and these experts in law, when he was sharing a meal with them. And this comes from two chapters earlier, from chapter 14. It's two verses, 12 through 14, and it says, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, don't invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they can't repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Now, this particular parable, I got to tell you, there is a ton of theological commentaries around this parable, Lazarus and the rich man, and it's extensive. I'm telling you, if I was to teach a class just on this parable, it would take at least two, if not three sessions, but we're not in a class, so there you go, right? That said, taking a hard look at this particular story, Jesus, he is not holding back. He is not holding back at all. He is aiming to make folks uncomfortable and with stances of grace and compassion and mercy and love and justice. Here is Jesus, and we well know that his stances and his stance definitely makes people uncomfortable today. What's the greatest commandment, right? What's the greatest commandment? Love God. Love your neighbor, right? It's not easy to do. It's not a walk in the park, but then Jesus didn't promise that now, did he, right? But with this story, what he's doing is he's calling us out. He's calling us out. It starts off with this rich man who lives, and he's got all this fine luxury. He's living so fine. He's got all the good stuff going on. He's feasting luxuriously every day. That includes, note what I said, every day. That includes feasting on the day of Sabbath. Which indicates that this man is ignoring Torah. That's the law that was revealed by God to Moses and the prophets. And so although a certain poor man named Lazarus is sitting there, he's outside and he's laying outside the entrance gate into this house, right? Just imagine that. Entrance gate into the house, there he's laying, and he is longing for the crumbs that are falling from this rich man's table, but nary did a tiny morsel come his way. Now, before I segue into the dead, buried, and tormented part, I want you to think about what I just said, I want you to think about what I just said. Question. Is this rich man sinning? Is this rich man sinning? Yeah. What he's doing is he's failing to follow a directive from Deuteronomy 15:1. 15:1 says, since there will never cease to be some need on the earth, I therefore command you, open your hand to the poor and to those in need in your land. But then, on the other hand, why would we expect him to follow this directive when he's extending his hand to the poor, when he's ignoring the Torah completely, right? His service is to no one but himself. He is not serving God, and he is definitely not serving his neighbor. Furthermore, I'm going to layer it now. This man's, and I want you to think about the justice part here as well, so we're not only dealing with this. This man's, rich man's self-serving actions are unjust to the servants in his household. Think about that. Why? Why might that be? Because he's not observing the Sabbath. He's not giving them a day off. They're never given a day of rest. This dude is publicly violating the Ten Commandments every week. Gonna ask you another question. Is he the only one sinning here? Now, you take a look at the story and you're like, well, yeah, maybe. Well, no, you got to read between the lines. See, I tell you, you can't check your brains at the door. Not here. You got to look in the Bible. Got to look at those verses. Read between those lines. See where the gray is, because this man, I want you to think about it. If this man is feasting luxuriously and extravagantly every day, do you think that he's doing this all by himself? No? Think about it. Do you think he's like, oh, I'm having a great time, and it's just him? Oh, no. He's like, I got to have all my friends. I got to have everybody see how good I'm living, how fine my life is. So he's inviting all of his guests and his friends to invite and attend and dine. And that means, how are they getting into the house? How are they getting into the house? Entrance gate, they got to pass by poor Lazarus, don't they? And what do they do? Do you think they're giving him a handout? Think they're giving him any food from the table? Nope. 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 No one here, guests, rich man, can plead ignorance. Every one of them are blind. They are blind to their own self-interests. And there's irony in this story as well. Lazarus, the meaning behind his name is the one whom God helps. The one whom God helps. But for our Lazarus, the only way God will help him is of those who claim to be followers of God, follow the Torah, doing their share. Clearly, this is a warning from Jesus, and Jesus is also saying, I'm holding up a mirror for you to get your love priorities in order. Right? This rich man loves his money more than he loves people. He loves his possessions more than the poor. He loves his clothes more than compassion, and he loves his elaborate feast more than he's willing to share food with those who are hungry. His love priorities, friends, are skewed. And then comes the part where both men die. Happy birthday. And there's this great chasm, right? Great chasm. And so the rich man, on the one hand, he's being tormented in hell, and then Lazarus is on the other side, and we're just going to call that heaven. And now you may read this and go, yeah, way to go, God. Turnabout's fair play. God is balancing out the scales. Woohoo! Yeah, but the focus of the parable, though, this is not a form of justice that evens the score. It's found in discovering the ways in which meaning is created by our responses to the good gifts and the suffering that life brings to everyone. With this, I'm now going to stop. I'm going to stop, and I'm going to ask a question of the day. Woohoo! And so what we're going to do is we're going to take a few minutes to chat about a question that I'm going to present. And friends, this is a wonderful opportunity to meet and greet your neighbor. And after 4 minutes, what I'll do is I'll draw us back to converse with you and what might have arisen in your conversation, and then I'll continue with the remainder of my message. Sound like a good plan? Yep. All right, so the question is, how do we show justice in our daily lives? How do we show justice in our daily lives? For those connecting with us online, we ask, you know, talk about this question. Think about it. Ponder it as well. You might want to talk with someone in your household. And friends, and also online hospitality coordinator. Anthony's over there. He can comment with you as well. So friends, let's greet one another with the peace of Christ and let's chat. All right. Here we come back. Great conversations happening. So we had it going on in the back. Woo, it was going on back there. Yeah, got the hands going. I just want to ask a couple of folks who would like to respond. How do we show justice in our daily lives? Who, just any raised hands out there? Come on now, don't be bashful, because you know I'll call on you if you're not careful. Yeah, Larry, come on up. There you go, Larry.
And I'm recovering from a sinus infection. One of the ways I think that I try to challenge, and I hope that we all do, is the systems, the places where we find ourselves sitting at the table, that we challenge folks. We challenge and we speak out when things are unjust, whether that be at work, whether that be in our community settings, wherever we find ourselves, that we challenge when we know it's not right.
And just a quick question. Do we find that within the United Methodist Church?
We find it in the United Methodist Church. We find it in my school system. We find it in every community organization I'm in. Yes.
You go. It's just, it's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Yeah, it's everywhere. All right. There we go. All right. All right. One more. Give me one more. Here we go. Right here. There we go. Tommy. Come on up, Tommy. Come on. Yeah. Come on. There you go. Come on. There we go. All right. Here we go.
Best example. We racked our brains. We started talking about Batman.
I can see the tie-in. Yeah.
It worked well because we talked about calling out people rolling through stop signs in our quiet little neighborhood.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The thirst for wanting to bring them to justice.
Right.
And then the consideration that I might dress up in a costume next time I see that happen and see if that helps the issue. And then otherwise talking about our children and like trying to get them to understand, hey, you know, get your hands out of that or you will be brought to justice, which I think I'm going to start saying that to my son and see how he responds. The little examples. Yeah. It's the little things.
That's right. There you go. Thank you. Thank you very much. Who knew Batman would come into a Sunday worship, right? There you go. All right, so here's a quote. All right, so I'm ready to jump in. Here's a quote that I really like. This is from Archbishop Desmond Tutu, who said, "If you are neutral in situations of injustice, you have chosen the side of the oppressor. If an elephant has its foot on the tail of a mouse and you say that you are neutral, the mouse will not appreciate your neutrality." Right? And this leads to my own thoughts about how we show justice in our daily lives. And there are so many, but I'm just going to narrow it down just real quick, share four ways to me of what we can do. One is examine and educate. Examine and educate. And what I mean by this is I've talked before about embedded theology or maybe conditioned lives of when we were children, where many of us hold on to those beliefs that we learned as children. Well, those beliefs unchecked influence how we live our lives and how we think and how we engage out into this world. For justice to show up in our daily lives, this requires self-reflection, it requires learning, and it requires an openness to growth. And so this is not a one-and-done situation. It is ever ongoing. Now, there are a myriad of social justice issues such as hunger and food insecurity. There's environmental injustice. There's gun violence, voting rights, human and civil rights. It goes on and on and on. So when I'm talking about educate and examine, examine and educate, what I'm saying too is you take the time to open yourself up to the particular issues that may be speaking to your heart, may be speaking to your mind, and finding out what you're passionate about. You're not going to be passionate about all of it, but there's going to be something that you are, and that's when you dig in then and you research that, and you find out what's going on, what's happening, what's being done. The second one then is you build off of that to take positive action. When we're examining and educating ourselves, finding out what's spoken to you, you can take actions like write letters and call your elected city and state officials regarding the issues that are being faced by your community. You might even choose to do something like with Pastor Bridie Roberts. Pastor Bridie, like an in-person protest. Now, and it's a peaceful protest. Pastor Bridie is a quarter-time associate pastor over at Hollywood UMC, and she's full-time deputy director of community organizing for Unite Here Local 11. And this labor union fights for living standards and working conditions, along with being a leader for immigrant rights. And so, proof in the pudding, I love this about Pastor Bridie. She's like a dog with a bone. She's not going to let it up. Chateau Marmont, if you know anything about the hotel, there was such diverse, it was not good. It was a lot of disputes between the hotel management and the workers. And the protests brought about the ability to be able to then come together, and both Chateau Marmont and the union then agreed upon a fair process that determined whether a majority of workers in certain classifications would choose the union as their representative, and now all prior disputes have been put to rest. And I give thanks for Pastor Bridie. We show justice in our lives by investing responsibly. Now, as a consumer, and you think about it, as a consumer, you have a choice. You have power behind your dollars. And so you have the power to affect social justice change with every dollar that you spend. And so here we ask and we say, hey, we encourage you, support minority-owned businesses, support LGBTQ businesses that are owned in the community and online. And for those who, if you've got extra dollars that you can invest in the stock market, although the inflation is cray-cray right now, what I would say is there are mutual funds, and if you think about it, mutual funds that focus on gender diversity, global equality, and other important social justice issues. And so if you can consider those companies that have sustainable environmental, social, and governance practices. So invest responsibly. And the fourth one is volunteer. And this is out of many. It's the way to show justice in our daily lives is volunteering. And here at Harmony, and you heard Harmony Kids coordinator Jace Lucas earlier, he shared in a message, and I'm going to quote him in his message from September the 4th. There was this part, and he says, we do this for the sake of the gospel. We do this for the sake of the gospel, all of it. So this is what he said. Our church is here to spread the love of God, to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to meet the needs of others, to have tough conversations about justice, to worship our Creator, to join together in community, to pray, to engage with those around us, all for the sake of the gospel. Friends, understand this, that you are the hands and feet of Christ in this broken and hurting world. That's you. When this affirming faith community was planted with its first official weekly worship service in late September of 2017, outreach, service, and volunteering was a key component of our vision, part of our DNA. And it still is. It is still is 5 years later as we celebrate Harmony's fifth birthday. And I want to give you an example of volunteering in relation to how we serve our neighbors who call the streets home. So earlier this year, Harmony, give me a second. Harmony hosted the LA County Homeless Count for the greater Toluca Lake area. And we have done that for several years. We have done that here at this site. We've prepared blessing bags and given those out to individuals in need. Donations are being made of new clothes. I just picked up some on Friday, right over here as well. You can see them over here. Here's the clothes. And so clothes are being contributed, and those are being handed out. A few months back, we participated, the Harmony campus, as long as the Hollywood campus, to go over to the Food on Foot, doing an outreach effort with them, and we collected white socks for the homeless. Last Sunday, we blessed and prayed over the backpacks and school supplies that are now being provided over to the LAUSD Homeless Education Program. What a blessing by this community. And something that's ahead of us, I'm very excited about on Sunday, October the 16th, just coming up, after worship, we're going to do together a service project after worship here on the campus with North Hollywood Interfaith Food Pantry. We're going to prepare 50 sack lunches. And in addition to that, we're going to do something that they've asked us to do, is something they call double bagging. And that is placing one paper grocery bag inside one plastic grocery bag to put food into and stock, and then to prepare for packing. And so you can already see we're gathering some of those bags here. And so the food pantry is finding that bag donations, that they have declined, and they actually really desperately need these and our help. That was a specific ask of theirs. That was the first ask before they asked about sack lunches. So I urge you to collect and bring as many paper and plastic bags as you can. Bring those to Harmony between now and October the 16th. And you might even want to start a personal bag drive with in your neighborhood with family and friends. Go Batman, go. All right? So faith community, this is just one justice area. What I just talked about is just one justice area, right? A volunteer focus. So I'm going to ask you, what specific service or outreach opportunities would you like to participate in? I want you to think about that. I want you to share those ideas with me and anyone on Harmony's leadership team. And that includes, because we are open-minded and we love ideas, right, Gaddison? And so the leadership team here at Harmony includes Larry and Shauna, Rev Jefferson. We got Gaddison, Donna, as well as Jason, myself. Okay, so I'm going to bring us back to today's parable about Lazarus and the rich man with a quote by John Wesley, founder of Methodism, that fits well. And he said, "The gospel of Christ knows no religion but social, no holiness but social holiness." Meaning, friends, we exist because of God's love. Can I get an amen? Yeah. We exist because of God's love, and Christ's love moves through us to go out into the world to walk with others. And in that walk, we are to accompany them in their journeys. We don't leave them alone. We walk together. We walk with those who are poor. We walk with those who are vulnerable. We walk with those who are living on the margins of life. Friends, this is a gift from the divine. It's a gift to live our lives together with all of the Holy One's creation. And when we go forth into the world in word and in action. Word and action, and with compassion and love. This parable challenges us. It interrogates our priorities too. Justice comes when we open up our eyes. Open up your eyes to see the world around us. Justice comes when we respond as Jesus would. That chasm that existed between the rich man and Lazarus, it was created by unhealthy relationship by people. It was created by an imbalance of wealth. It was created by a social construct that really, truly needed Jesus. Folks, the chasm still exists today. The question is what are we going to do to lessen it? To be as concerned about As our Christ is about the quality of life, the care for the soul, the ability to grow and flourish, all of these things should be part of our way of listening and responding as followers of Jesus Christ. All of these components should be part of the pursuit of the divine creator's justice here on earth. And in doing so, it will lessen the chasm between us. So I'm going to conclude my message with an inspiring, mindful quote by Dr. Cornel West. He's an African-American philosopher and political activist. And he says, never forget that justice is what love looks like in public. May it be so. So Harmony, I want you to receive this blessing as we go forth. May God bless you with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships so that you may live deep within your heart. May God bless you with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people so that you may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless you with tears to shed for those who suffer pain, rejection, starvation, and war so that you may reach out your hand to comfort them and to turn their pain into joy. And may God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in this world so that you can do what others claim that you cannot. Amen.